Good evening, Church. I have been asked to read the bulk of 1 Samuel chapter 15. Rather a distressing passage in some ways, but oh well. So, Samuel said to Saul, "I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people, Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go, attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys." So Saul summoned the men and mustered them at Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the ravine. Then he said to the Kenites, Go away, leave the Amalekites so that I do not destroy you along with them, for you showed kindness to all the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur to the east of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak they totally destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, "I am grieved that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions." Samuel was troubled, and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul. But he was told, "Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honour and has turned and gone down to Gilgal." When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear?" Saul answered, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest." "Stop," Samuel said to Saul. "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night."
"Tell me," Saul replied. Samuel said, "Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission, saying, 'Go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Make war on them until you have wiped them out.' Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord?"
"But I did obey the Lord," Saul said. "I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to the God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal." But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king."
I'm excited to be able to share with you some of the thoughts and ideas at the start of the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality series. If you've been around White Inch for a while, then you possibly remember that we've looked at this material before. Believe it or not, that was back in 2015-16. I didn't think it was as long ago as that, but clearly time flies. And if you're coming back to this because you've already been in it already, you know, you've been around all that time, then perhaps you're looking at it and you're quite excited about the thought of coming back to this stuff, because actually it made a huge impression on you the last time, and you're thinking, well, there's got to be more, and you want to dig in that. Or perhaps you're looking at it thinking, oh, not that stuff again, because we've already done all of that stuff. What's new that we can possibly do? I've been thinking lots about that, and thinking about the fact that in faith communities we come back to the same themes time and time again, don't we? We wouldn't ever dream of suggesting that we didn't do Christmas because we've already done it before. Instead, we come to it and we approach it looking at it thinking, where is the gold? Where is the new gold in this? What do I need to hear again? What needs to go deeper in me? How can I be reminded of the things that are actually very familiar to me that I know already? So my prayer is that whether this is the first time that you've seen this material, or that you've looked or thought through how your emotional health impacts your spiritual health, whether it's the first time you've done that, or whether this is the second time or the umpteenth time you've done that, my prayer is that God would take us deeper into a place of transformation with him, because that really is what this is all about. Last week, Andy kicked us off and was looking at that balance between doing and being. He was looking at that whole idea of how communion with Jesus is the thing that sends us out, that launches us out, the thing that sustains us in terms of being able to deal with the situations that are round about us. This is what Andy said last week that really, really stuck with me. The biggest killer in the Arctic is being too distracted by the conditions. The biggest killer in the Arctic is being too distracted by the conditions. And I was thinking about that over the course of this week, because that's the thing that really stuck with me after Andy spoke last week. And I'm thinking about the conditions that we find ourselves in. You know, for the last 7 months, we've been in some pretty crazy conditions. And the conditions round about us, there've been lots of fear, there's lots of anxiety, there's lots of hopelessness, there's lots of disappointment, there's lots of concern about what might be coming next. And those conditions, if we focus on them and become completely distracted by them, actually kill our joy. They kill our sense of hope. They can kill our relationships. They can kill our sense of purpose. They can even start to kill our relationship with Jesus. As a fellowship here, if you've been journeying with us over the last while, the conditions that for us as a fellowship over the last while, if we were to focus on all of those conditions, then in actual fact, it would not help us to move forward. Think about the conditions over the last 18 months if you've been around, the people who have come and the people who have gone, the things that were familiar to us that are no longer there, buildings that gave us a sense of who we were and what we were able to do no longer being there, lots and lots and lots of change and lots of loss. And as Andy said last week, if we get too distracted by all of those conditions round about us, then in actual fact, they really do begin to impact us adversely. I think this is a really timely season to be coming back to look at emotionally healthy spirituality again. Because I don't know about you, but over the last months, whether it's the last 7 months or the last 18 months, I think my emotional health and my spirituality, which is innately connected to that, has actually taken a bit of a dunt. And I think it's a great time for us to be able to sit down and actually take some stock about what's going on the inside and how that's impacting our relationship with Jesus. I want to start this morning by thinking about what emotionally healthy spirituality is not. So first of all, emotionally healthy spirituality is not a quick fix. It's actually a long walk in the same direction. This is about a deep transformation. It's not about tinkering around the edges. I don't know about you, but I'm fed up tinkering around the edges. I'm fed up going to another conference or trying to access something online to top me up. I want something that's sustainable for the long term. That's what emotionally healthy spirituality encourages us to do. It encourages us to develop rhythms that are sustainable for the long term, that see deep transformation, not just in us, but in other people too. The second thing that emotionally healthy spirituality is not, it's not another 6-week course of information that we simply take in that kind of tickles our brain cells and then doesn't really do anything else. Emotionally healthy spirituality is actually a launch pad, a way of being that launches us out into doing what it is that God has called us to do, both individually but also corporately and together as a church. The third thing that emotionally healthy spirituality is not, it's not a pseudo-psychology self-help course. And I'd want to say that right off the top of this. This is not another self-help course. This is actually an invitation to come and to be with Jesus and allow him to deeply transform our lives. Why do we want him to deeply transform our lives? Well, in actual fact, it's part of that sanctification process, isn't it? That when we come to faith, when we come to Jesus, we invite him to come and we invite him to start to knock off all the bits that aren't like him. And that's what this is about. It's another step in the process of becoming more like Jesus and also becoming more effective for Jesus. So a twofold result with emotionally healthy spirituality. Our passage this morning, which Jeremy read so beautifully for us, is about Saul. And really in this passage, we see Saul coming across as a king who is not hugely self-aware, not hugely emotionally healthy. And in actual fact, we see how that influences and impacts his relationship, not just with other people, but with God himself. Saul, at the start of the story, hears from God through Samuel. So Samuel comes to Saul and he says to Saul, this is what you've to do. Now, we're not going to get into the ins and outs of why he was told to do that or anything else, or the what comes across to us as the horror of what Saul was being asked to do. Suffice to say, God asked Saul to do something. God essentially commanded Saul to do something. And Saul went off and did a whole pile of stuff that he believed in his heart of hearts probably that he was doing for God. The problem was that looking at the outside, Saul looked like a really successful leader. He'd gone and he had killed the Amalekites and he'd taken all their plunder, he'd taken all the good stuff and made sure that all the things that were useful to him and probably that he thought were useful to God that he had taken and preserved as well. And so on the outside, Saul probably looked like a really successful leader. And he thought that of himself as well, didn't he? Because it tells us that he built himself a monument. How great am I? I've done a fabulous job for God. The thing with it is that Saul didn't really spend any time with God finding out what was on God's heart. He hadn't really developed a relationship with God for himself. His relationship with God was through the prophet Samuel. And that's a real problem for us with our spirituality, isn't it? When our relationship with God or our relationship with Jesus is coming vicariously through somebody else. Not that it's wrong to have a prophetic word from somebody, and not that it's wrong to listen to great sermons and to hear other people, and not that it's wrong to sit with people who are telling us about their experience of Jesus. Not that that's wrong at all. But actually, like Andy was talking about last week, the invitation is actually to come ourselves and to sit at the feet of Jesus. And that's something that Saul really didn't have a handle on. I guess Saul was really the activist. He hadn't kind of got the contemplative bit. Off he was out there charging ahead, doing what he thought was the right thing to do for God. The other thing in the story that I want to draw your attention to is Saul's lack of self-awareness. You know, when I look at it, I think poor Saul, he really hadn't a clue what was going on either on the inside of him or with anybody else. So the prophet Samuel, having heard or realised what Saul had done, feels the pain of God, because Samuel is intrinsically connected to God. And so Samuel feels the pain of God at the situation that he sees round about him that's been created by Saul. And so he goes to Saul, and Samuel is pretty upset when he goes to Saul. And I'm not sure that you really would have missed the fact that Samuel was upset. But Saul is so blissfully unaware that he doesn't really seem to get what's going on with Samuel. So Samuel comes and says to Saul, "This is a real problem. Look what you've done." And then Saul gets all indignant and all uppity about it. And he says, "I haven't done anything. Look at the amazing things I've done for God. And I've done this and I've done this and I've done this and I've done this." And eventually Samuel gets to the crunch and he gets fed up listening to what Saul is saying to him, the arguments that Saul is presenting as to why he should have done what he did. And Samuel really hits the nail on the head. You know, success isn't about going out and doing all these things for God. The way God defines success is, are we doing what he's asked us to do? And that's what Samuel says to Saul. But Saul, so blissfully unaware of either what's going on round about him, or what's going on with God, or what's going on with Samuel, or even what's going on the inside of himself, Saul's totally blissfully unaware, and in actual fact, in this particular scenario, has messed up completely, isn't really able to take on board the fact that he's messed up completely, covers over all of that brokenness and that vulnerability and that mess up that he has been the root of, covers all of that over by building a monument and telling everybody how great he is. Lots of examples in this passage of unhealthy, emotionally unhealthy spirituality that we see with Saul. One of the things about Samuel that we see here is that Samuel's not afraid to go in and to confront Saul. He doesn't settle for a false peace. He doesn't look and see what Saul has done or feel God's pain and then spend a few days praying and saying to God, "Well, you know, if it's your will, then you'll convict Saul. So send somebody to him and convict him." Actually, Samuel goes and he does the confrontation himself. That's actually a mark of a healthy spirituality, an emotionally healthy way of being. We don't settle for a false peace. We are actually able to go and say, "There's a problem with this." And we're able to bring that conflict into that place in a right way, and in a way that has an invitation to bring life out of it and to move things on. So lots of examples in this passage about emotionally unhealthy spirituality. I want to encourage you this morning to think about how emotionally healthy your spirituality is. Is your being with God enough to sustain your doing for God? Or are you being distracted by lots of the conditions that are round about? Are you being distracted by the things that you see that need doing, but in actual fact not able to take time to be with God in order to have the impetus and the resources to be able to go and do for God? So how's your being with God today? Connected to that, how are your daily, your weekly and your seasonal rhythms looking? The fact that life has changed so dramatically for all of us in the last 7 or 8 months has meant that for many of us, our rhythms have got knocked out of kilter. And in actual fact, we're having to look at establishing new rhythms. So what do those rhythms look like for you? Are you just going all the time? Or in actual fact, have you stopped doing at all? And in actual fact, are now feeling that you need to start moving again, that you need to start doing something different, that you can't just park everything because we're in these crazy conditions that we're in. So how are your rhythms looking? What do you need to pay attention to? Do you need to pay attention to your body or your mind or your spirit? Which one's needing topping up at the moment? Have you got relationships that you need to be doing some work with because actually they need looking at? Have you got some work that needs to be getting looked at the moment in terms of investing in something? Have you got some learning that needs to be done at the moment? What is it about your rhythms that need to be tweaked at the moment? So how are your rhythms doing? Another question I want to ask in terms of emotionally healthy spirituality this morning is, are you using God to run from God? Is that a pattern in your life? And you might not understand what that means, or it might sound a bit odd, but are you doing all the things for God? Like Saul was saying in the passage, he went out and he'd done all this. This is all the stuff he'd done for God. But in actual fact, using that to run from God. So being so immersed in the doing for God that in actual fact you don't have time, you haven't left yourself time to be with God. And sometimes we don't leave ourselves time to be with God, because when we start to be with God in that quiet place, in that place where we don't say anything, in the place where we start to get still before God, then some of that stuff that rattles around on the inside of us that we're frantically trying to stuff down starts to come to the surface. Often that's why we do lots for God and we don't take time to be with him, because being with him actually leaves us in a really, really uncomfortable place. Emotionally healthy spirituality is actually about a spirituality that deeply transforms lives. It deeply changes lives. It is not tinkering around the edges. It's not rearranging the chairs on the deck of the Titanic. It's not doing anything like that. It's a deep change in our lives and in our being. And it's actually not just about a change in us. It's about a change in other people too. It's about allowing God to change us in a deep way so that we then can go out and be the catalyst for change in the world. Sometimes as we engage with people, and sometimes as we watch other people, we see folks who we recognise have got stuff on the inside that when it gets poked, it just comes straight up. And that might resound with you. I don't know if you've ever been in the position where you've reacted to somebody or something, and after you've done it, you've thought, why on earth did I do that? Why on earth did I say that? I should just have kept my mouth shut. But for some reason, we didn't. And that's to do with the fact that there's stuff below our iceberg, there's stuff under the surface of the water that we're just not even aware of. It's a blind spot for us. We're not aware of it. And the invitation to come and sit with Jesus and allow Jesus to uncover those things is actually a transformative invitation. As we go through this emotionally healthy spirituality series, we all have a choice in terms of what we do with it. It can remain simply as information. So it can remain simply as just another sermon that we hear that just goes over the top of our heads and doesn't really stick with us for the rest of the week. Sometimes I get to preach in other places, and in some traditions in the other places, the tradition is for whoever is leading the service to go and to stand at the front door and shake people's hands on the way out. And I can go to churches and I can preach a real hellfire and brimstone sermon and go and stand at the door and people come past and shake my hand and say, that was a lovely sermon this morning, dear. Lovely service. And I stand and I'm confused by that, because I think, no, that was not a lovely service. That was actually really hard hitting. But actually, it's just stayed at information. It just kind of lands in our brains and it doesn't do anything else. It just kind of bounces off, and you can let that material do this. If you really want transformation, then you've got to let that information move to imitation. You've got to do something with that information. And there is an invitation to you to do something with that information by joining us midweek at our midweek groups, where we can have a conversation about what you've heard on a Sunday morning, or about anything else that's actually coming up for you around about the emotionally healthy spirituality stuff. The thing is, there are lots of us who have been through this material before, so we'll all be at different stages, and we all bring to the piece a real richness of how it's impacted us or not impacted us over the past 4 or 5 years, if we've been around that long. There are lots of ways that you can engage with this material. We're also going to send out some daily devotions. So they're coming out after the service this morning. They'll come out by email to you. If you're not on our email list, you might want to email info@whiteinchurch.org and ask to be added to that list so that you get those. Ways of engaging with the material. I would encourage you to find somebody to talk to about this stuff. Have a chat with somebody, either by WhatsApp, by Messenger, on the telephone, or if you're allowed to, even in person, and walk through this stuff. Move from information to imitation. And then I would suggest to you that if you've been through this stuff already, if you've gone through this material and actually it has impacted you because you have imitated some of the stuff that we've talked about already, I would encourage you to move towards innovation in that. How do you tweak around the edges? How do you make it contextually and culturally relevant for you? There are huge opportunities in this for us to be people who become transformed so that others can be transformed. That's in the DNA of White Inch. White Inch has always been a place that's been about deeply changing lives. From the very beginning, that was the vision for White Inch, and it's still the vision for White Inch. The thing about God asking us to be a people about who deeply change lives is actually that God often wants to start with us. So, how are you going to let God start with you today? What's God saying to you? What are you going to do about it? I want to encourage you to dig in with this material as much as you possibly can. It's not a course. It's not a quick fix. It's an invitation to a long walk in the same direction with Jesus. You can go online and find tons of resources. Google Pete Scazzaro, who's the guy who wrote this, the original writer of the material. Have a look at emotionallyhealthydiscipleship.org. On that website, you will find a way to take a survey, a test, that will pop out an answer for how emotionally healthy you are. It might be fun and interesting to do those quizzes or do those tests and see what pops out and see the journey and the recommendations that they make in terms of moving forward. Whatever you do and however you choose to engage with this, I pray that you are really blessed by our delve into this material again. And I pray that at the end of the 6 weeks that we become well on the way to our road to transformation as the people of God, but also well on the way to being people who are able to transform our communities. Bless you loads and have a great week.